Part 18, Chapter 1. Bitty McLeod, carrying a blast rifle as tall as himself, followed along behind Sir Johnny into the main Brigante encampment. Sir Johnny had sent him back twice. But wasn't the proper place of a squire to follow his knight with his weapons into a place of danger? And Biddy admitted to himself that it did look dangerous. There must be 2,500 or 3,000 of these people scattered around this clearing, deep in the forest. They had landed at the top edge of the open space. The prisoners, oh, how they had stunk up the ship, had been held in a lump in the big marine attack plane, well separated from their weapons. And when they landed, the prisoners had been put on the ground first. Then Sir Robert had looked over the place and made some defense dispositions to cover their possible retreat, as was proper for a war chief. Biddy had taken the opportunity of persuading Sir Johnny into some dry clothes. All you had to do was touch him, and the water splashed. The Russians had not been idle over at the dam, and seeing all this rain, they had cut up some camouflage cloth and made rain capes. It had been hard to get Sir Johnny to pay attention and to take care of himself, to get some food down and change clothes. But Biddy had done it. He'd clasped up the rain cape with a badge with a red star on it, and gotten Johnny's dry shirt belted with his gold-buckled belt, and had found a helmet liner with a white star on it to keep the rain off him, and, all in all, under these circumstances, Sir Johnny looked pretty presentable, even in this rain. Sheets of water were marching across this wide clearing full of people. Somebody had cut down an awful lot of trees and burned them some time past. The blackened stumps stood all about. A crop was half grown, but these people were running all about, trampling it, a thing you shouldn't do to crops. Biddy looked about him through the rain. These creatures did not fit into his sense of fitness of things. He had read quite a bit in his school. He liked the very old romances best, and he hadn't ever encountered anything like this. There were no old men or old women. There were quite a few children in various bad, unhealthy conditions. Pot bellies, scabs on them, dirty. Shocking. Didn't anyone properly feed them or clean them up? Men they passed gave them a funny salute with a raised finger. Ugly, contemptuous faces. Faces of all colors and mixed colors. And all dirty. Their clothing was a kind of joke of a uniform and not worn with any style. Just sloppy. They seemed to speak some strange kind of English, like they had oatmeal in their mouths. He knew he didn't talk really good English, not like university men such as Sir Robert, nor as good as Sir Johnny. But anybody could understand him when he talked, and he was trying to improve so that Colonel Ivan's English, which he helped him with, would be good. But these people didn't seem to care if the words even got out of their stinky mouths. Biddy almost bumped into Sir Johnny, who had stopped in front of a middle-aged man. What language was Sir Johnny using? Ah, Cyclo. Johnny was asking something, and the Brigante nodded and pointed over to the west and said something back in Cyclo. Biddy got it. Sir Johnny didn't want to know anything. He just wanted to see whether the Brigante spoke Cyclo. Clever. Where were they headed? Oh, toward that big lean-to that had a leopard-skin sort of flag on a pole in front of it. Biddy saw they had been following the prisoners, who were still under guard, probably being taken to their chief. This was a pretty awful kind of people. They simply halted, wherever they were, right in the path, and relieved themselves. Awful. Over there, a young man had thrown a girl down, and they were... Yes, they were. Fornicating, right out in public. Biddy turned his head away and tried to purify his thoughts. But the direction he turned showed him a man making a child do something unspeakable. He began to feel a little ill and walked much closer to Sir Johnny's heels. These creatures were worse than animals. Far worse. Biddy followed Sir Johnny into the lean-to.
How the place stank!
There was somebody sitting on a tree trunk they had built the lean-to over. The man was awfully fat and was yellowish with the yellow that Dr. McKendrick said was malaria. The folds of the man's body made deep seams of dirt. He had a funny cap on that must be made out of leather. It had a peak in front. There was something set on it. A woman's brooch? Some kind of stone? A diamond? The creature they had captured, Arf, was standing in front of the fat man. With a fist beat on his chest, Arf was making a report. What was he calling the fat man? General Snith? Wasn't Snit a cyclo-common name? Wasn't Smith the common English name? Terrible hard to tell with that oatmeal accent. The general was chewing on a haunch of something and didn't seem much impressed. Finally, the general spoke.
Did you get your supplies? The sulfur?
Well, no.
Arf said, and tried to tell it all again.
Did you bring back your stiffs?
The general said. Stiffs? Stiffs? Oh, bodies. This captunk, Arf, seemed to get a bit scared and back up. The general hurled the haunch straight at him and hit him in the face with it.
How'd you expect to eat, then?
Screamed the general. Eat? Stiffs? Bodies? Eat? Their own dead? Then Biddy looked down at the throne haunch that had ricocheted toward him. It was a human arm! Hurriedly, Biddy got out of there and got back of the lean-to and was very sick at his stomach. But Sir Johnny found him in a moment and put an arm around his shoulders and wiped his mouth with a bandana. He tried to get a Russian to take Biddy back to the plane, but Biddy wouldn't go. The place of a squire was with his knight. And Johnny might need this blast rifle among these horrible creatures. So they let him continue to follow. Sir Johnny looked into the lean-to in the edge of the trees and seemed very interested. And Biddy looked and saw a very old, very battered instruction machine, like the pilots used to learn cyclo. And this seemed to mean something to Sir Johnny. Who were they looking for now? The rain was coming down, and these people were racing around, and the blast rifle was very heavy and getting heavier. Oh, the coordinators! They found them in another lean-to, a pair of young Scots. Wasn't one of them a McCandless from Inverness? Yes, he thought he recognized him. They sat there, soaking wet even under cover, their bonnets like mops. They looked pretty white of face. Sir Johnny was trying to find out how they got here, and they were pointing to a pile of cable dropped by a plane. So Sir Johnny told them they'd better leave with them, and they were saying no. It was a council order to bring these people back to the compound in America. And even though the transports were overdue, they had supposed it was trouble for the council to be finding enough pilots for the lift. After a lot of argument about their duty on their side and their safety on Sir Johnny's side, they were persuaded to at least come to the plane, where they could be given a food package and maybe some weapons. So they all pushed their way through this mob of people back to where the Russians held a defense perimeter and got into the plane. Sir Robert was there. He sat the two Scott coordinators down in one of the big cyclo bucket seats.
Was there a third one of you?
Sir Robert wanted to know.
Well, yes,
said McCandless.
There was Allison. Well, a couple of days ago he fell in a river and some scaly beast got him.
Did you see this?
Said Sir Robert. Well, no, they hadn't seen it. The general had told them, and there were plenty of rivers and lots of scaly beasts. Sir Johnny was saying something now.
Did Allison talk cyclo?
He was in pilot training,
said McCandless.
The Federation needs its own pilots sometimes. I suppose he did.
Yes, he did,
said the other Scot.
He could talk some cyclo. They pulled him out of the class to come here. The order to lift these people out came very suddenly from the council, and we were short.
Sir Robert said,
Do you recall hearing him talk cyclo to these ruffians around here?
They thought for a while. The rain was drumming on the marine attack plane roof, and it was awfully hot.
Aye,
said McCandless, finally.
I heard him talking to one of the officers that was finding it remarkable he talked Cyclo. They chatted away in it quite a while. I don't speak.
That's all we wanted to know,
Sir Robert was saying. He looked up at Sir Johnny meaningfully.
Interrogation. They wanted him for interrogation.
And Sir Johnny was nodding. Then Sir Robert pulled out something Bitty didn't know he had. A tam-o-shanter with blood on it. He handed it to the two coordinators. They found some thread initials in it. Yes, it was Allison's. Where'd Sir Robert get it? Sir Robert blasted them very proper. He told them, and Bitty was shocked to learn, that the Brigantes had sold Allison to the Cyclos. And the Cyclos must have wanted him for interrogation, and God help Allison now. Sold Allison? A human being? To the monsters? Neither Bitty nor the coordinators could get their wits around that. There was a dreadful row then. Sir Robert ordered the two coordinators to come along with them. The coordinators said this was their duty, to lift these people out. It was a council order. And Sir Robert thundered at them that he was the war chief of Scotland, and he damned well wasn't going to leave them here. The two coordinators tried to leave, and Sir Johnny and Sir Robert, using the cargo lashings Bitty hastily found, simply tied them up. They put them on top of the supplies at the rear of the plane. They withdrew their defense perimeter and took off. And Bitty was not surprised to hear one of the pilots ask permission to strafe these creatures from the air. Sir Robert said no. If they tried that, the creatures would just run under the trees. They weren't equipped to handle them right now, and they had other things to do. But if they'd done what they appeared to have done, they'd have a bloody feud on their filthy hands. Everybody was pretty upset about Allison. When they had taken off and were flying back to the compound, Bitty got to pondering those people down there. He leaned over to Sir Johnny and said,
Sir Johnny, how in all this rain can they be so dirty?